Thank you so much. Well, I think God heard the prayer the first time, so I'll just continue. The encounter of Philip with the Ethiopian eunuch and Jesus speaking about himself as the true vine teach us much about our life as Christians. Firstly, the story about Philip and the eunuch is full of surprises. An angel summons Philip to go down a desert road in a southwesterly direction from Jerusalem towards Gaza. On that forsaken road, Philip met the Ethiopian eunuch, who was in charge of the entire treasury of the Candace, as the queen of the Ethiopians was called. Even though the eunuch had been worshiping in Jerusalem, he probably would not have been considered a proselyte of the Israelite faith, considering his physical condition of being castrated. Besides that, Ethiopia was considered to be part of the ends of the earth, too far away from the center of faith. So there was a stranger sitting in his chariot, reading aloud from the book of Isaiah. That may seem strange to us, but not for that time. People customarily read aloud to themselves. Philip had no trouble recognizing what the eunuch was reading. Thus, the natural question was asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" We know the eunuch invited Philip to guide him. Philip began with the prophecy from Isaiah 53, verses 7 to 8, which was quoted in Acts 15. Philip continued to share the good news about Jesus. Now, that sounds vaguely familiar. Remember the two disciples from who were walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus after Jesus was crucified? They met a stranger who did not seem to know the past events in Jerusalem. In this instance, though, the stranger began with Moses and the prophets to reveal his own story. Philip followed the example of Jesus in sharing the good news. He started with scripture, where the listener was, and went on from there. With the conversion of the eunuch, all social and ritual barriers were broken. He was even baptized in a body of water along the way. When the men came out of the water, the Spirit whisked Philip away to Azotus. Such transporting to other places was reserved only for some people, like prophets in the Old Testament times. The eunuch, never seeing Philip again, went on his way feeling great joy. Philip, being conveyed, returned to sharing the good news, evangelizing in the towns between Azotus and Caesarea. Both men were alive in the Spirit as God called them. Indeed, this is a story of many wonders. Now let's examine the passage from John 15, where Jesus uses a common image known to the people in biblical times, a vineyard. Jesus speaks of himself as the true vine, and God the Father as the vine grower. God removes the branches in Jesus the vine that bear no fruit. God prunes the branches in Jesus the vine that do bear fruit so that they will bear more fruit. An important part of this image is that believers have already been cleansed by the word Jesus has spoken to them. Furthermore, in that passage, there is a key word, abide. Within five verses, abide is repeated 8 times. Repetitions attract our attention, cause us to think, encourage us to take note. According to the Oxford Dictionary, abide means to remain faithful to. So, we remain faithful to Jesus, and he remains faithful to us. We have a reciprocal relationship, one that is mutual, joint, shared, common, or communal. Because of our relationship with Jesus, we are expected to bear fruit. In order for our lives to bear more fruit, God will have to prune us. That hurts. That may be a sacrifice. That may be a loss. That may be a difficult time. As a result, we will bear more fruit. The fruit we bear may be sharing the good news of Jesus, like Philip, the evangelist. Or it might be expressing joy, like the Ethiopian eunuch, for a life changed because of meeting Jesus and being baptized to live for him. It might be sharing our faith with family or friends or even strangers. It might be serving Jesus by serving a poor person, a hungry person, a sick person, a lonely person, a refugee family, a dying person, a person in prison, or any of the least of these. It might be a little thing at first, and then something more involved, as the branch of our life is further pruned. The amazing thing is that the power is in us because God first loved us. Jesus first loved us. We have the gift of the Holy Spirit within us. We can love others around us. Some who are known and some who are unknown. Another way to put this message is to say, every day is the first day of the rest of your life. Or you might ask, what are you doing? What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with your life? What are you doing today for tomorrow? What are you going to do today that will make you happy for the rest of your life? Are you enabling your relationship with Jesus to grow? Does holiness equal happiness for you? The degree of happiness in a person's life is directly related to the degree of holiness in a person's life. The following story found online might help us identify holiness in our lives. A man with a debilitating alcohol problem went to his doctor for help. The doctor said, "Now sit down and let me show you something." The doctor proceeded to fill one glass with whiskey and another glass with water. He put a worm into each glass. The worm in the whiskey quickly keeled over, while the worm in the water seemed to be getting along just fine. The doctor asked his struggling patient, "What does that tell you?" "Well," the man said, "I guess it means I won't get worms if I drink whiskey." Well, some people just don't get it. Some folks just don't get Jesus. They don't see the obvious. They don't see Jesus as the answer to their questions. They don't see Jesus as the way to the good life. Some folks, as Jesus said, don't have eyes to see or ears to hear. So as branches, our lives are linked to our connection to the vine, Jesus, to the vine grower, God, and to the power, the Holy Spirit. Practically, the connecting, abiding, or drawing near is attained by encounter with the triune God, our Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Such encounters are possible through time spent in God's creation. Regular corporate worship, as we are doing today. Personal reading of the Word. Small group Bible study. Serving Jesus by serving and loving others. Plus constant prayer. Perhaps the latter could take the form of journaling. Some ideas to begin or return to this valuable practice might include writing, "How are you feeling? Are you angry about something? Talk to God about it. Are you thankful for something? Thank God. Are you sad? Tell God what is making you feel that way. Are you struggling? Ask God to help you. Praise God for what He is doing in your life. Tell God that you love Him." Over time, a journal reread will indicate how our loving God has drawn near to us. In closing, I share this prayer written by D. Renault of Sauble Beach, Ontario. Gracious God, Thank you for your wonderful love for us. You alone are holy and worthy of our praise. We long to know you better, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Thank you for who you are, what you have done in our lives, and what you are still doing. Help us to trust you and sense your presence throughout our days. May we love you more deeply day by day and see you more clearly as we seek to draw closer to you. Help us always to listen for your voice, to lead us and guide us as we seek to do your will and to serve you all our days. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.